Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom to all those with us today. As we are getting close now to Passover, I want to give a message today that's called Examining Ourself at Passover. So I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians 11. And I'm going to start reading here in verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. He says, "For I received from the Master what I also delivered to you, that the Master Yeshua, in the night in which he was betrayed," right, "took bread," which is the Passover, "and giving thanks, he broke and said, 'Take this, this is my body, which is broken on behalf of you. This do in remembrance of me,'" right? It's a memorial we do every year. And again, at Passover, at baptism, when we go under the waters of baptism and we enter covenant relationship with Yahweh, we know in the flesh, because of the way human beings are, and they are not faithful creatures, that it is a one-year commitment. And every year at Passover, we renew that commitment. And Yahweh willing, most of us are fulfilling that commitment each year, but there are changes that have to be made as we grow in Yahweh's spirit. He says, "In the same way, the cup also, after supping, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Each time you drink it, do this in remembrance of me.' For each time that you may eat this bread and drink this cup, you solemnly commemorate the death of our Master until his coming. So that whoever should eat this bread or drink the cup of our Master unworthily, that one will be guilty of the body and the blood of our Master Yeshua." So it's a serious thing at Passover time. "But let a man or a person examine themselves, and so let them eat of the bread and let them drink of the cup." And I've seen sometimes where people told me they didn't want to take Passover because they felt unworthy. Of course, we're all unworthy. That's not the point of it. The point is that what are we doing about it? Aren't we making the changes in our life so that we're not unworthy? "So that whoever should eat this bread or drink the cup of our Master unworthily, that one will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Master Yeshua. But let a man or a person examine themselves, and so let them eat of the bread and let them drink of the cup." So that's the key to it. It's not doing it. You have to do it to renew your covenant. It's about examining ourselves and seeing where these changes have to be made. "For he, eating and drinking unworthily, eats and drinks to his condemnation, not discerning the body of the Master Yahweh. For this reason, many among you are sick and weak, and many sleep. For if we discerned ourselves, we would not be judged." An important scripture there. If we discerned ourselves, we would not be judged. And sometimes we're judged because we don't want to discern ourselves. So this is what I want to talk about today as our renewal is coming up. And we do have to take those symbols, and we need to be examining ourselves. So each year at Passover, we're commanded to examine ourselves the same way we should have at our baptism. And Passover is a renewal of those baptism vows that we took. Sadly, some don't do this. And to be honest, I don't even think some people even did this at their initial baptism. Sometimes people just get baptized for whatever reason. But I clearly see it, especially in the day and age we're living in, where so many people fall away. And we need to be looking in our life, because when you make that commitment, you know, and the Bible is very clear, when you make a commitment to Yahweh, you better fulfill it, because Yahweh don't take pleasure in fools. And Yahweh, who keeps all his commitments, you know, also expects us to keep our commitment. And like it says, you know, for the person who makes that commitment and then goes back to the world, it's better you have never have known the truth, because if you never known the truth, in the white throne judgment, the bar is going to be much lower. But to know the truth, to have your mind open, to be baptized, and then to go back on that, wow. It's like it says, it's better if you were never even born, like a dog to his vomit, right? It's a horrible thing. So in the day and age we're living in now, especially this year, as all these things are going on around the world, around us, and war and all these things in Yahweh's kingdom is being fulfilled, his word is being fulfilled, and his kingdom is coming soon. And we know, unfortunately, it's going to get worse before it gets better, but that kingdom is around the corner. I believe this is really a pivotal Passover. It's a Passover where we really need to take it serious, and we have to start making those changes in our life or unfortunately, each year there are people that aren't there the next Passover. Whether that means, you know, certain brothers or sisters who fall away, and they could fall away in good standing with Yahweh and just be sleeping. It's actually a gift in the end time to be doing that, sleeping in the grave until the resurrection. But others, they just fall away. They just leave, go on their own. And like I said, I think the most miserable people I've ever seen in my life, unhappy people, are people that had the truth and leave it. Because, again, it's the same way in the world of commercial Babylon, right? It's the old facade out there that, yeah, if you just can make all this money and you got this big house and you got an expensive car, it's going to make you happy. And like I always say, you know, expensive cars don't make you happy, but they may get you to your problems, you know, in a little bit more style. But they're not going to make you happy. Things of themselves, physical things, cannot make you happy. What makes you happy is relationships. And that's what Satan is trying to destroy, our relationship with Yahweh and our relationship with each other. So in the time we're living in now, wow, there are so many distractions in the world out there and so many things that keep people, you know, looking in the wrong direction. So we need to be strengthening ourselves. And there's no better time than to strengthen yourself than Passover. And like I said, this one is extremely important. So back to verse 29. He says, "For he, eating and drinking unworthily, eats and drinks to his condemnation, not discerning the body of our master." So, are we really discerning the body of our master? You know, are we discerning? And I've said this many times to people before and to groups, you know, that if you were the only person on earth that sinned, the plan of Yahweh would have never been different. Yahweh wouldn't have said, you know, it's not worth Yeshua's sacrifice for just one person. No. Everybody is important to Yahweh, and every human being is important. And I remember one time years ago when we were living in Israel, and there was a man, I forget what he was doing, he came to our place to fix something, you know. And I was telling him I was a pastor, and he asked me, you know, "Well, do you hold me accountable for Yeshua's death? Do you think the Jews killed Yeshua?" And I looked him in the eye and I said, "No, I don't believe the Jews killed Yeshua. You know who killed Yeshua?" And I pointed myself. I said, "I killed him. I killed him because of my sins. My sins killed him, and each and every one of us, our sins killed him, because that's the reason why he died. He didn't come to earth, and he didn't just haphazardly get taken by the Pharisees, and, you know, it was all, no, it was all in the plan of Yahweh. The Lamb of Yah slain from the foundation of the world. And from the foundation of the world, from creation, before sin ever entered, Yahweh knew by giving mankind free will that without the spirit of Yahweh, that free will would be used in the wrong way. He knew it. We see it from the book of Genesis. So it was not like when Adam and Eve went the wrong way that Yahweh was shocked. He never expected it. No, the Lamb of Yah slain from the foundation of the world. So each of us, you know, there's not this original sin. No, there is not original sin. There is the original sin of Adam and Eve, but that sin does not go to each and every person that's born. When you're born without sin. But babies have human nature. And the same way, like I said, a baby that's there, that's 7 and 8 months old, that's just, he's hungry. What does he do? He just screams and yells. He's not thinking, "Oh, you know, my poor mom, she's been up day and night taking care of me, you know, and this and that." No, the baby's hungry, the baby screams and yells because the baby wants food. He's not thinking of anybody else but himself. As cute, as wonderful as that baby might be, he has the human nature that every human beings have. But he doesn't have original sin. That comes when you get to be of an age and you make decisions and you make bad decisions. And, you know, people covet and people lust and people are prideful, you know, and greedy, and people get angry, and these are all sins. They're spirits, demonic spirits, and they're sins. And that is what put Yeshua on the tree of crucifixion. That is what killed Yeshua. My sins did. So if you don't discern this, truly think about where you need to change. Otherwise, you're making his sacrifice into nothing. If you just show up on Passover night, and, you know, you take the little piece of bread and you drink the little sip of wine and you just go on as if nothing happened, you are not discerning his body. Because it's my responsibility as the elder to give a sermon like this, but it's your responsibility as a baptized member to be thinking where you need to change. And look at your life from 1 year ago and today, and how different are you? Unfortunately, some are worse. Some aren't even the same, because really, to be honest, in a world that's changing constantly, there really is no such thing as staying the same. You're either moving forward or you're moving behind. It's that simple. So if you're not doing that, you are not discerning his body. And verse 27, you know, whoever should eat this bread or drink the cup of the master unworthily, that one will be guilty of the blood, the body and the blood of our master, Yahweh. So how do we drink it unworthily? By not changing, not becoming the person Yahweh wants us to be. Remember, I said this many times in Genesis, you know, Genesis 1:26, Elohim made the man in his image, right? Animals are made instinctive after their own kind, but human beings are made after Yahweh in his image and his likeness, but we have to grow in his likeness. You know, we look like him when we're born, you know, the way our bodies are, but we have to grow into his likeness. And each and every year that we're alive, that's what we should be doing. We have the Ruach HaKodesh. We have the Spirit of Yahweh. And that Spirit allows us to change, but you got to surrender to that Spirit. You got to allow the Spirit to change you. You have to stop being so prideful and being so offended and wanting your way in everything, because that's the way to eternal death. That's not the way to change in Yahweh. So praise Yahweh that at least in his congregation, as people understand this, we know that there's consequences to our actions. We know that the Torah is Yahweh's eternal character and binding on our life. In Christianity, they don't understand this, right? The law is nailed to the cross. Everything is done away with. But if we go to Hebrews 11, one of the, probably the most scariest scriptures in the Bible, because it shows what happens if we don't change and if we continue to sin after the full knowledge of the truth. Hebrews 11, verse 26, he says, having counted the reproach of the Messiah greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for, I'm in Hebrews 11, I'm sorry, it should be Hebrews 10, Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 26, he says, for if we are willfully sinning after receiving the full knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice concerning sins. But he is ready for the fearful judgment and zealous fire being about to consume the adversaries. For if he who transgressed the law of Moses died without mercies at the mouth of two or three witnesses, how much worse punishment do you think it will be thought worthy to receive the one trampling the Son of Yahweh and having counted the blood of the covenant as common in which he was sanctified and having insulted the Spirit of grace? Remember, not that long ago I did the message, are you making your calling common? You know, just common, used by everybody, just average, having no worth whatsoever, nothing being set apart for. And that's what he's saying, you know, that if you continue to sin afterwards, you're making the blood of Yeshua common. He says, for we know him who has said, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay, says Yahweh. And again, Yahweh will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Elohim. Yes, it certainly is. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Elohim. So we don't want to do that. And we want to seek deep into our hearts, and we got to see where we're falling short. And it's not for someone else to tell you that. You know, it's great to have accountability partners. Iron sharpens iron. But you got to be able to look into your own life, and you have to see where you have to change. And then you have to do it. You know, I've also seen people that through the years, you know, they'll always say, oh, I know, you know, my sin, and I know where I have to change, but they never do. They say they know it, but then they keep going on doing the same exact thing and, you know, playing the victim and not changing. And we see here what's the end result. And that's not going to change. This scripture is true. And unfortunately, that's why when Yeshua says, many will say to me in that day, Master, Master, and I'll say, I never knew you. They'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, right? So we don't want to be in that category. And that's why, like I said, we should be always examining ourselves. But now we're commanded to do it. And while what's going on now, as we're getting into those last few years before Yeshua returns, you know, and the world is changing around us, and we need to be changing also. As the world is changing for the worst, you know, and Yeshua is coming to bring his kingdom, we need to be changing for the better. Matthew 5, so let's go into this a little bit more here. Because it's not just actions, it's thoughts, right? Thought becomes action becomes sin, sin becomes death. Matthew 5:21 through 24. He says, you have heard that it was said to the ancients, do not murder. And whoever commits murder shall be condemned to the judgment. But I say to you that anyone who provokes to anger his brother without cause is condemned to judgment. And anyone who should say to his brother, I spit on you, is condemned to the assembly. And anyone who should say, you are a coward, is condemned to the Gehenna of fire. So we see here that Yeshua is equating anger with murder, right? Because sin starts in the heart. And somebody has to get angry before they would murder, right? And these things mull in the mind. So sin starts in the mind, and that's why we have to purify our minds, and we have to keep our minds guarded and sanctified so that those things can't enter. We have to put a guard around them. Drop down to verse 27. You have heard that it was said to the ancients, do not commit adultery, but I say to you, everyone looking at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. But if your right eye offends you, take it out and throw it from you. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and all your body not be thrown into hell, into Gehenna. So we want to make sure, like I said, that our thoughts are pure. Our thoughts are pure. And through the Ruach, we can do that. We have the gifts of the Spirit living within us, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, goodness, you know, self-control. We need to be using these. We need to manifest them. And the way to manifest them is to be surrendering to them, right? Allow it to work in our life, not being allowed the fruits of the flesh to be doing it. And it really is a great time for all of us to be looking at our life and really making a list, writing down, what are the worldly things in my life that I need to get rid of? You know, some things, like I said, we're not going to go up to Mars or up to the moon, you know. We have to stay in this world but not be of the world. So there's certain things in this life that you might just be able to limit but not get rid of completely, right? But there's other things you can get rid of completely. And we have to be looking at our life and really seeing where those changes have to be made and then making those changes. So at the Bible school the last few years, we've been having a box called our Pillar of Salt box because, you know, Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. She was a pillar of salt because her heart and her mind and her thoughts were all from the world. So we make this box of the pillar of salt box to see what is the pillar of salt in our life that needs to go. And by writing it down sometimes and putting it in that box, you know, you can't get rid of it. I'm sure not everybody did. I'm sure some people with good intentions put something in that box and then, you know, as time went on, they went back to it, you know. But I'm sure other people didn't. So that's where our free will comes in. And we have to be manifesting, you know, the things in our life that Yahweh gives us to learn self-control, to learn discipline, to get rid of these things and keep them out. You know, making those changes in our life, getting rid of these bad neuroassociations, you know, embracing the good ones, and then staying with it and not putting temptation in front of us. That's a big one. You know, people just think because, you know, like you hear a sermon or maybe even come to the school, whatever, I'm leaving different now and it's going to stay that way. It'll only stay that way if you stay that way. Your free will isn't being taken away, you know, by hearing a sermon or coming to a feast. You know, you have to manifest that free will to be only doing the will of Yahweh in your life. We are living in the most evil, wicked, immoral world ever known to mankind. Divorce is at the highest rate ever. Homosexuality is legal and encouraged, right? Fornication, pornography, lust is okay and done by the majority of society. They don't even, you know, you don't even in churches, you don't even hear the word sin anymore. People don't want to talk about it because it's everyone's free will. It's everyone's choice. And what they keep telling you in churches and in the world, just don't judge. You know, just don't judge. Just let everything go on. But we have to judge. We have to judge sin and we have to judge ourselves. We don't judge other people. Yahweh is the ultimate judge, but we do judge sin and we do judge ourselves. Even the killing of unborn babies, they call it a woman's right to choose, right? So there's never been a more evil, immoral, and wicked world than today. And where this immorality is being, programmed into people every single day, because every single day in every single house probably in the world or everybody's life to one degree or another, you know, through internet, it's coming. So it's not like it was 100 or 200 years ago where basically If you're living somewhere out in the country, all you got to do is worry about those few people that are affecting you, your family members, your neighbors, you know, whatever, your workers maybe at work. But today it's not like that. Today, Satan can get to people in every part of the world. It doesn't matter, you know, third world, first world, second world. It doesn't matter which one. It don't make a difference because everyone has it. You know, I see more smartphones in third world country than I do in well, maybe not more, but at least the same. Because in first world, everyone has them too. But it's shocking, you know, that the United Nations, they're not giving people health care. They're not giving them, you know, herbal medicines. But the shore will give them a smartphone. So that's the world we're living in. Deuteronomy 30. And we have free will, and we got to use that free will to be choosing to change. We have to use that free will to choose to change. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15. He says, "For behold, I have set before you today life and good and death and evil. And that I am commanding you today to love Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, and you shall live and multiply, and Yahweh your Elohim shall bless you in the land where you are going to possess it. But if you turn away your heart and you do not listen, and you are impelled to even bow down to other Elohim and serve them, I have declared to you today that you shall certainly perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land to which you are crossing the Jordan to go in there to possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live. To love Yahweh your Elohim, to listen to his voice, to cleave to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, so that you may live in the land which Yahweh has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give it to them." So this is what Yahweh is saying. He is giving us the free will to choose, but we are accountable for those choices we make. And where that was the lie of Satan, going back to the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3, that no, there's no accountability. You could sin and go on. That's the lie of Christianity today. There's no accountability. You know, Jesus loves you. You can do whatever you want. He comes to you where you are. Nope. That's not anywhere in the Bible. That's not in the Tanakh. That's not in the Brit Hadashah. You are accountable. It's the New Testament tells us we're accountable for the words we speak. We're accountable for the thoughts we have. And we're accountable for the actions we do. That's coming from the New Testament, right? You know, it's also coming in the Tanakh we see, but it's coming from the New Testament too. So it is a lie that you can continue to sin and have no accountability. And you have it physically in your life because sin brings death, but sin also brings suffering and sorrow. And as much sin is in your life, that's how corrupted and unhappy your life is going to be in the flesh, and then take your eternal life away to come. Revelation 12:9, the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent being called the devil and Satan. He, deceiving the whole inhabitable world, was cast out onto the earth, and his cherubs were cast out with him. So we see in the end time that Satan has deceived the whole inhabitable world. And look around. Show me one place in the world where people are not deceived. So all of us have been deceived to one degree or another through the internet. Even people like the Amish have been infiltrated. Can you imagine? And the more you see the Amish, I feel bad because they're losing everything they had for 400 years. They're losing very, very quickly now. 99% of the people on the planet watch the internet to some degree or another and have shaped, molded society for the worst in most cases. So the internet, yes, it can give you information, right? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but it certainly has brought a lot more evil into the world than it has good. Luke 17 and verse 24. He says, "As for a flash is lightning from heaven, and all that is under heaven is lit, such will be the Son of Man in his day. But first it is necessary that he suffer many things and be rejected by that generation." We're seeing it before our eyes. Yeshua is being rejected. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so also will be in the days of the Son of Man, right? Wow, this is like the days of Noah. The immorality and all the things going on. They were eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage until the day Noah went into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So it was an immoral society, right? But it wasn't, you know, like things were going on like it was normal. That was, the immorality was a normal thing of that day and the people were accepting it. And likewise, it was in the days of Lot. They were eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building, right? Going on as if nothing's going to come. But on the day Lot went out from Sodom, Yahweh rained down fire and brimstone from the heaven and destroyed them all. According to those things, right? The days of Noah and the days of Lot. Violence on the earth, immorality. It will be in the day the Son of Man is revealed. Wow. So these are the days we're living in today. Is evil and immoral as the days of Noah, sexual perversion, pride, as in the days of Lot. A lot of pride out there. You know, it's the Laodicean era. Pride is, you know, in abundance in the world we live in today. Indoctrination and brainwashing that the internet has brought. And, you know, like I said, I've said this for a while now, a couple of years about COVID. COVID was a real turning point with a lot of things. And as time goes on, we're going to see it because it was manufactured. It wasn't something that just happened. They brought it on exactly at that time. They manufactured this whole thing that wasn't even real. They brought this thing and they manipulated people. And even today, you know, you could sit there with somebody and one person will say how bad the vaccine was because, you know, they saw it kill X amount of people. I was standing right there. I saw someone take it and dropped in. Somebody else would be like, oh, you evil, rotten person. That vaccine saved millions of lives. So there isn't reason anymore because of the deception that has gone on. And when you allow your mind to be deceived to a point, there's a point of no return. You know? When you allow your mind to just go into that far into deception, you hit a point of no return. And this is why, you know, sometimes time is going fast and we're working a lot and things are happening and you don't even realize that your prayer and your Bible study and your relationship with Yahweh is going down. And that's why, praise Yahweh, that every year we have Passover where we're commanded that we have to look at that. You know, it's not a choice. We have to do it because you can't go to the Passover night without doing that examining. Or if you do, you're going to be sorry for it. But that's why, like I always say, whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. You cannot have the internet around you day and night and not have it affect you. It doesn't work that way. And it's a scientific fact that they're proving now. And I would have never thought, you know, because they brought the internet and they brought it to deceive people, I would have never thought that they're actually even admitting how bad it is, especially with youth, and making laws in certain countries that you have to be at least 16 to get on the internet. But it's a fact. You can't have the internet around you day and night and not have it affect you. It's filled with false news, with lust, with covetousness, and just every kind of pleasure-seeking avenue, you know. So when your mind is passive, when you're watching TV, when you're doing something that's pleasure-seeking, your mind, it's a different part of your mind that's working. So normally, when you're thinking, and when you're working and when you're producing, your one part of your mind is working. When you're sitting back and just being entertained, it's another part of your mind. And that's what happens with the internet. It closes off the effective part of your mind and brings on just the pleasure-seeking part. It's an avenue to become possibly defiled, which most of the time it will. It was created by Satan to fulfill Revelation 12:9. Because there's no way without the internet he could have deceived every single person on the planet. But he's used that as a point of it. And in the end, he's the creator of it. And the creators of it, you know, the creators of Facebook and all that stuff, they admitted it. They admitted it. You could go online and listen to them saying it out of their own mouth that they made these things to deceive people. To get people deceived and particularly younger people, which even makes it all the more evil. The algorithms on all these things are made like a slot machine to make dopamine come in the mind of people. And it is. It's addictive, and people don't realize it. The same way somebody the first time went in to play a slot machine thought, oh, this is cute. Hey, I got an extra couple of quarters. This is fun. And they didn't think that 2 years down the line they would have ruined their marriage, ruined their family, lost their job, and lost every penny they had. Because the addiction that came to the gambling. Nobody thinks that. Nobody thinks that when they're addicted to cocaine or marijuana or anything. You know, they don't see the addiction coming until it's too late. And that's the world we're living in today. And for most people in the world, sadly, it's already too late. People are never going to get rid of it. You know, they won't. So I just want to read you a testimony I have here from one of the brethren on this. Somebody that, you know, was very heavily into it and was able to change. And they, you know, they gave me this testimony. They said it's okay to read it. And because I hope that it will help some people out there that may be having the same problem. And it says, when I was convicted to get rid of the demonic iPhone, it's mostly on the iPhone, but the iPhone is the internet. That's what it's all about, not the calling people. It says, when I was convicted to get rid of the demonic iPhone, and as I was transferring my files from the iPhone to the laptop, I was suddenly overwhelmed by this huge fear. Or maybe it was an evil spirit. I was suddenly doubting, but I am now more scared of being without Yahweh's blessing than the convenience of having a phone that is virtually almost everything. I didn't even realize until now that so much of my life revolved around that phone. My banking, my documents, my private messages, my emails, my relationships, my photos, my journal notes, my food tracker, my cycle tracker, video editing apps, and so much more all on one iPhone. No wonder AI can do such a great job of getting people's identities. One phone can show you a person's entire life and history. An hour before this, I ordered a flip phone online. Mine has no camera and it definitely can't connect to Wi-Fi. As I'm typing this, two people have already signified that they want to buy my iPhones, so I'll probably be without one by Monday. I don't even know what I'm scared of right now. I don't know where this spirit of fear is coming from, but what I know is that I want to give my best to Yahweh in starting this now. And I know that me keeping this evil gadget is an area of my life that I could not surrender for the longest time. So many don't want to admit it, but it is an addiction. And I'll say here, not only an addiction, because when you can't get rid of it, it's an idol. It's idolatry. And if you're on it day or night, it's an addiction by definition. So some people say, I'm not addicted to it, and they're on it day and night. That's what an addiction is, something that you can't control, that you're doing it day and night. Which is why I truly believe that the messages you gave this past coat or something else, because I know it's not an accident that I was hearing your sermons. I was chosen for this calling now for such a time as this. And I will not allow Satan through these demonic iPhone devices to steal my reward. Right now, I am probably one of the only ones without social media and not even something I brag about. I am simply stating a fact. And I want to double it. I'll be the only one without a smartphone too. I already know that it's going to be hard, but I'd rather be a living sacrifice now than a dead sacrifice later. So thank you, Elder Don. Thank you for your time, your effort, and your constant checking up on each of us. I cherish our conversations and interactions so deeply. So that's coming from one of the brethren, and I have to say, it's not the only letter I got. I read this one, but I've gotten other ones like the same, because no one wants to be in that situation, you know. I've baptized thousands of people over the years, and I've heard, you know, from people being baptized, I've heard a lot of bad things, the way people were before, and confessing sometimes, you know, the sins that they got into that they're ashamed of now. And it's all of us. All of us have done things in our life we're ashamed of. And it's sad because I've dealt with people, many people, especially just in the last few years, of different addictions, you know, and really bad addictions. And it's such a bad, evil thing when somebody is addicted, because it's your mind that's being taken over. And you're not able to control yourself. You're doing things you hate that you don't want to do. And you really, it's something I teach at the Bible school, breaking those neural associations, making new ones, or they come back. You know, it can't just be an emotional experience. You've got to break it, and you've got to be convicted. You know, you've got to be convicted and know that you need to change. So I understand some people work on the internet and do banking on the internet, sometimes buying clothes or whatever. I'm not talking about that. You know, it's the world we live in, so I'm not talking about that. But what I'm talking about is, I'm talking about not having to stay a minute more on the internet than you have to. You know, and there's sometimes people tell me all the time, wow, you know, I went on there, I was just checking the weather, and then 3 hours later, you know, you're saying, where did that time go to? So that's the point of it is, We live in this world. If you're not using it, if you're the Amish and you don't have it, great. Never get on it. You know, I've never had Facebook. I've never had social media or any of those things. I've never had an iPhone. So I'm glad of that. But if you are on it, some people, like some people with work, some people are, you know, working the police, whatever, and they have to have these things, doctors, you know. So if you have to, you have to. What I'm saying is don't be on it one more minute than you have to. And here at Passover time, really think about it. For some of you, it may not be a problem at all. For some of you, it may be. But if it is, get a plan of action and really, you know, get the discipline in yourself and limit it. Limit how much time you're on there. Proverbs 9, 8 through 10 says, "Do not reprove a scorner that he not hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give to a wise one and he will be more wise. Teach a just one and he will increase in learning. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." And if I had to say one of the biggest changes with our school, you know, from when I first started it to now, is probably this scripture. Because the school's always been good. It was very different back then because, like I said, in the beginning, most of it was teaching doctrine, which was great. People didn't know it at the time. But probably 30, 40% of the people coming to the school in those days weren't even brethren. They weren't in the congregation. And wow, you know, do not reprove a scorner. He will hate you. I've had it happen before. But today, I'd say 100% of the people coming, you know, want to come there. They want to change. You know, maybe for some people it's hard. Maybe for some people they go back to the old way for whatever reason. But at least the people coming want it. They want to do it, you know. And like it says, rebuke a wise man and he will love you. And I do it out of that. You know, when people come to me and share things, you know, I don't get angry. I'm appreciative of it because I want to change. I'm a human being too and I have to change. So this is where we all need to mature and be together. But like I said, it's Passover time, and it's time where we have to make sure that pride doesn't stop us from the correction that we need. And like I said, some people will think of every reason in the world why this sermon is for A, B, and C, but not for them. So it's Passover. It's not about you figuring out for, you know, whatever, your friend, your father, your mother, your husband, your wife, your child. It's not, it's for figuring out for me. This is what it's about. It says examine yourself. It doesn't say examine everybody else around you. So each of us have to do this and we have to look in our lives and see. First John 1 and verse 4. He says, "And I write these things to you that your joy may be full. And this is the message which we had heard from him, and we proclaim to you, Elohim is light, and no darkness is in him, none. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his Son, Yeshua Messiah, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, that he may forgive us the sins and may cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Well, praise Yahweh. "If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So again, you know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. And it's not about pointing a finger at somebody else, because every time you do that, like I said, three more come back at you. It's about looking in our own life and looking in our own hearts and seeing where we need to change. And if you don't look in your own life now and make real change, you're only hurting yourself and denying your calling. And there is a point of no return, like I said, you know, sadly. Luke chapter 13. Because life goes fast, you never know which day may be our last. It says, "And some were present at the same time reporting to him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate mixed with their sacrifices." So these people that were killed. And answering, Yeshua said to him, "Do you think these Galileans were sinners beyond all the Galileans because they were killed this way? No. But I say to you, but if you do not repent, you will likewise be destroyed. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think these were sinners beyond all men who lived in Jerusalem? No. But I say to you, if you do not repent, you will all likewise be destroyed." And he spoke this parable. "A man had planted a fig tree in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. And he said to the workers, 'Behold, 3 years I come looking for fruit, on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why should the ground be wasted? And a worker said to him, Master, leave it also this year until I shall dig around it and throw manure. Maybe it will produce fruit, and if not, next year you may cut it down. So, like I said, you never know. You know, every day is a gift from Yahweh. Every day on this earth is a gift from Yahweh. And you never know when our last day can be. But one thing we know for sure, like I said, whether you're looking at King Saul or King David, the good things one did and the bad things the other, there's nothing else they can do. Their judgment is set. It's not going to change. In the 3,000 years they've been laying in the grave, whatever their judgment was on the day they died, it's the judgment that's going to be the same when Yeshua returns and they're resurrected. So for us, though, that are still alive, we still have at least one more day to change, to make those changes, and to show Yahweh how much we love Him. That's what it's about. Like I said, it's about relationship, not religion. It's about showing Yahweh, and it's not something you can work up, but are you really appreciative for what He did in your life? Do you really see yourself as a sinner? Do you see yourself needing His grace in your life, or is it just something that's a ritual that we do? Because Passover certainly is not a ritual. Passover is the most meaningful night of the year because we are renewing that covenant again. And like I said, we are accepting for another year that shed blood of Yeshua in our life. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. Let's look at an example, probably maybe the greatest example in the Bible of somebody who changed and what that change did in their life. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 3. He says, for I delivered to you in the first place what I also received, that Messiah died for our sins according to the Scripture, and He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And He appeared to Peter and to the 12. Then He appeared to over 500 brethren at once, of whom are still standing until now, but some also fell asleep. So if the resurrection was faked, if the apostles faked it, then you got 500 witnesses here that saw it, that were alive right then. So clearly this is proof that it happened. Then He was seen by Jacob, then by all the apostles, and last of all, He was also seen by me, ignorant and imperfectly trained as I was, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not even worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the congregation of Yahweh. But by the grace of Elohim, I am what I am, and His grace which was toward me has not been without fruit. But I labored more abundantly than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of Elohim within me. So this is what you can do. There's two things you can do. And there's sometimes people that came from bad backgrounds that did really bad things, and they never will forgive themselves for it. They won't allow Yahweh to forgive them for it. And although Yahweh does forgive them, they won't forgive themselves. And I tell them, you're making your sin greater than Yeshua. No, no, I'm not doing that. And yes, that is exactly what you're doing. When you repent and you accept the blood of Yeshua, you come in covenant relationship, and then you don't forgive something you did in the past, you are making your sin greater than Yeshua's sacrifice, because His sacrifice covers all sins, you know, including your sin. It's actually pride. It's pride that everyone's sin could be forgiven but mine. And it's like, no, that's not the way it works. We have to be humble enough to allow that forgiveness in our life, and some people just can't do it. There's people out there that are good people, honest people, giving people, and yet you can't give them anything. If you give them anything, they want to give you back equal, because in their mind, they mentally don't want to feel indebted to anybody. And if that's the case, you will never, ever, ever embrace grace, because grace makes you the most indebted person on the planet. Not to mankind, but to Yahweh. And mankind in one sense, because you're helping your fellow men, because Yahweh created them. So that's the way the Apostle Paul was. Look at what he did. Look at all the things he went through. Look at his suffering in life. You know why? Because he was indebted to Yahweh for what he did. Because that Yahweh didn't just leave him out there in his reprobate state and allow him to just be like one of the other Pharisees. But Yahweh convicted him, showed him the truth, and allowed him into his ministry to actually, you know, do good. And did he suffer a lot in his life? Absolutely. But did he change a lot? Yes. And that's the key. When you look at it, look at the change that he had. Wow. What change that he had? Paul grew in the Spirit because he realized his nature, and it humbled him. It humbled him, and he allowed it to motivate that to change. Passover, repentance, should be deeper every year. every year you're a believer, it should be a little deeper than the year before as we grow in the rock, and especially now in the end times. So we need to be embracing this. We need to be, really, really taking the time. It's not something you do for 10 minutes before the Passover service. It's something you should be doing for weeks, if not more, even up to a month, preparing and really thinking, praying, asking Yahweh to show you where you need to change, making plan of actions for that change in your life. Galatians 5, 24 and 25. He says, but the ones belonging to Messiah crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. Let us therefore live by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit. And this is the way change comes. Like I said, all those good spiritual fruits are in you. Love, joy, peace, patience. Let them grow. And the ones that are of the evil one, anger, sarcasm, lust, greed, those are the ones you got to kill. You got to allow the Spirit to kill them. You got to get them out of your life because they belong to Satan. Those are his characteristics. And if they're in your life, you are giving him permission to come into your life, into your house, into your family, and take what's his. But if you allow the rock of Yahweh to crucify those things and get rid of them, Satan has no foothold in your life whatsoever. And you can command him if he's trying to get in there. Get thee behind me, Satan. You are but an offense. But if you have something that's his, he has every right to come and get it. So it can only come by humility and true repentance, admitting our weak state before Yahweh and surrendering to his will and allowing his Spirit to change us. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 through 17. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 through 17 says, but we ought to thank Yahweh always concerning you, brothers, beloved by Yahweh, because Yahweh chose you from the beginning to salvation and sanctification of the Spirit and through a true faith, to which he called us through our preaching, and to which he called you through our preaching to be the glory of our Master Yeshua Messiah. So then, brothers, stand firm and strongly hold the commandments you were taught, whether by word or by epistle. But may our Master himself, Yeshua Messiah, and our Elohim and Father, the one having loved us and having given everlasting comfort and good hope by grace, encourage your hearts, and may he establish you in every good word and work. So that's the key to it. That's the way change comes, right? We have to let him establish our hearts in every good word and work. We are called to live a life of separation. We can't let our environment take our sanctity away. And like I said, it's not for somebody else to tell you. You have to look in your life and see what part of my life isn't sanctified enough. Sometimes we've seen where somebody could have something that could seem so simple. My parents went on this vacation to, Africa, and they brought back this thing. It's like, whoa, that thing is the most evil-looking voodoo doll I've ever seen. You need to get rid of that, because demons they can manifest in things like that. So it can be as simple as that, having something there that is just, not in the will of Yahweh, or it could be something that's much, much deeper in our life, from our childhood, in our personality, things that we don't want to let go of, and things we're not willing, that are really, really deep-rooted, that, you got to take a lot of weed killer to and really get it out, because sometimes this stuff is deeper than we want to admit. So we have to make sure we're looking at every single part of our life that isn't sanctified. Romans 10, verse 17. Excuse me. Romans 10 and verse 17. Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Elohim. You've got to be in the word every day. You've got to be reading the word every day, meditating on it, praying. Because, like it says here, faith comes by hearing. Whatever you focus on becomes most real, and you will never have faith if you're not in that word day and night. So we need to be in the word. Romans 2 and verse 13, for not the hearers of the Torah righteous with Elohim, but the doers of the Torah justified. So what did we say, right? Thought becomes action, action becomes sin, sin becomes death. But on the other side, thought, if you're in the Bible, can become action, and action can become righteousness, and righteousness can become eternal life. So that's why Yahweh says, choose. I put before you life and death. Choose life. We have free will. We have to choose it. So not the hearers of the Torah are righteous, but the doers of the Torah will be justified. Have to make sure. Write down a plan of action and don't compromise. Make limits as to how the internet will affect your life and other things. You know, other things that you're doing. You have to make sure that, you know, write a plan of action, have a schedule, and do it. 2 Peter 3:18, he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Master and Savior, Yeshua Messiah, and of Yahweh the Father. To him be the glory both now and to the days of eternity. Amen. Grow in it. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not something that is just going to be, you know, like someone told me one time, oh yeah, I repented when I was baptized, you know, 32 years ago. You never repented since? Oh, no, no, that's the only time I've repented. Then you never really repented ever. You know, repentance is something that is a continual thing our whole life. You know, and we have to grow into it. So you have to grow in the grace and knowledge. You grow into it. And how do you grow into it? By studying your Bible, by building a relationship with Yahweh, by praying, by meditating. You know, that's the way you grow into it, by overcoming, you know, by situations in your life. And that's why everything works for the good, right? Romans 8:28. Because Yahweh allows challenges in our life, because challenges are the things that's going to help us to overcome. And it's going to draw us closer to Him. So we have to grow into that. 1 John 3:1 through 3. 1 John 3:1 through 3 says, see what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we may be called the sons or children of Yahweh, who made us. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children or sons of Yahweh, and it is not yet revealed what we shall be. But we know that if He is revealed, we shall be like Him, because we will see Him as He is. And everyone having this hope on Him purifies himself, even as that one is pure. Wow, what a hope. If that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will, right? This is the hope of every baptized believer. We don't know. You know, when I ask somebody, you know, what is it like to be spirit? Nobody can answer me, because nobody is a spirit. We have a spirit in us, but we don't even understand, but it does manifest. But none of us are spirit, right? So we don't know what that is, but we know we'll be that way. We will have a glorified body, just like Yeshua when He returns. So we have to focus on that. It's the greatest promise that we should be focusing on every day. And if that doesn't motivate us to change, I don't know what will. Because if you're not changing, you're not going to get that glorified body. You know, we have to be overcomers. We have to be overcomers. So let's go back. Last scripture I'm going to go in here. Back to where we started, right? Yahweh works in the circular. So I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 11. And verse 28 and verse 29. But let a man or a person, it's not just for men, it's for everybody, let a person examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and let him drink of the cup. For he eating and drinking unworthily eats and drinks to his condemnation, not discerning the body of our Master Yahweh. So like I said, this is a commandment. It's not something that Paul is just suggesting to help us. It's a commandment that we have to examine ourselves. We have to examine ourselves before Passover, because if you take the Passover without truly doing this, you are doing it unworthily. So, wow, time has gone fast. Maybe you wish you started doing this, you know, weeks ago or a month ago, but it's not Passover night yet, so you still have some time. And like I said, things are moving fast. It's a serious time we're living in. The kingdom of Yahweh is moving quickly, and what an important year in the plan of Yahweh. So let us make this the greatest Passover that we had. Let's make this the most blessed spiritual Passover of our lives, and let's make sure that we're getting out every spot and wrinkle, because the bridegroom is coming. Yahweh bless, and Shabbat Shalom.